The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 of a pound, of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained. "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was in it. Then Jesus said, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she has used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, open our hearts to the new thing that you are doing. Be present so that our actions proclaim the extravagant love poured out for all. Amen. Wow. You know what the people were talking about when they walked home from that dinner? It wasn't the food, the wine, or probably not even Judas's outburst, but Mary's display of love that broke the societal laws. She took down her hair in public. She poured expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. She, a woman, anointed a man. She touched his bare skin, and the fragrance filled the room. This gathering takes place 6 days before the Passover at Lazarus' house just outside of Jerusalem. It is an intimate gathering of Jesus' close friends, Lazarus, Martha, Mary, and the disciples. A few days earlier, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and the chief priests are seeking to kill them both. I wonder what Jesus was thinking as they gathered. Here was Lazarus, raised from the dead. Surely the friends talked excitedly about this. But Jesus knew his own death was coming. Soon he would need to say goodbye to his friends. He repeatedly told them that he would be betrayed, persecuted, and killed. But they just don't seem to get it. I imagine that he felt alone in this crowded room and with a heavy heart. Mary, too, has a heavy heart. On one hand, her heart is so full of gratitude and love for Jesus. He raised her brother from the dead. On the other hand, she has watched him pour out his abundant love on the lost, the lonely, and the poor. She has listened intently as he spoke of his death. She even prepared by having an expensive perfume to be used to anoint his body after his death. As she looks at her hurting friend, her heart is breaking open. She desires to show him that she understands and to help carry his burden. She's filled with such love that she realizes that sometimes love demands action in the moment. Without a thought, she throws all caution to the wind. As if no one else is in the room, she kneels at his feet, slowly yet lavishly pours the precious perfume over Jesus' feet, caressing them with her hands and drying them with her hair. And the fragrance fills the room. The room grows quiet, and all eyes are on them, witnessing Mary's love poured out. Finally, Judas, as if he can't stand the extravagant display of love, breaks the intimate moment by criticizing Mary's impractical actions. But Jesus defends Mary, graciously accepting her love poured out, and the fragrance fills the room. It's as if the Sufi mystic Rumi was in that room when he wrote, "Love is recklessness, not reason. Reason seeks a profit. Love comes on strong, consuming herself unabashed. Yet in the midst of suffering, love proceeds like a millstone, hard-surfaced and straightforward. Having died to self-interest, she risks everything and asks for nothing. Love gambles away every good gift that God bestows." I don't know what Rumi was thinking when he wrote that, but it speaks to me of how Mary understood Jesus' teachings, perhaps more so than the other disciples. Jesus' way, his path, was extravagant love poured out and given away. At the beginning of his life, he poured himself out and descended into human form. During his life, Jesus' actions spoke louder than words. He ate with sinners, touched the diseased, healed the sick, welcomed the outcast, fed the poor, all while holding nothing back. For example, in his first miracle at the wedding in Cana, he turned water into an abundance of the very best wine. And when he fed the people on the seashore with nothing but 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, there were 12 baskets left over. Jesus came so we could have abundant life. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is now, and it is within us." Jesus reveals to us the path for transforming our minds so that we may know who we are in God and give ourselves to the divine intimacy of this mutual relationship with God. The point is to get our mind and heart moving in the same direction, aligned with God, and living from that place of wholeness. Mary understood this. Like Jesus, Mary poured herself out. She risked everything and asked for nothing. She gambled away her most precious gift, and the fragrance filled the room. Mary was willing to give witness to Jesus' struggle, his heavy heart, and even his fears by acknowledging his impending death. Through her presence, Mary recognized and reflected the divine love in Jesus and reflected it back to him. Rooted in love, Mary helped to carry Jesus' burden, and the fragrance filled the room. I wonder for how long after that evening the fragrance filled the room. Did the fragrance and Mary's extravagant act of love linger with Jesus as we walk through what we now call Holy Week? Was it on his mind when he showed the disciples how to love by washing their feet? Was Mary's act of love with him when he was betrayed, accused, and abused? Was it still with Jesus when he risked everything, pouring himself out on the cross, and in abundant love, forgiving all as he breathed his last breath? I believe our call in life is to be rooted in the divine love in us so that we can be fully present and show up with our whole self, holding nothing back and grasping at nothing. We are to be the extravagant fragrance of love poured out. As you make your way through the last few weeks of Lent, what fragrance are you leaving? Is it the bitter scent of judgment and betrayal like Judas? Or is it the sweet, precious scent of love poured out freely? The good news is that no matter what fragrance we exude, the abundant love of God covers us all, present loving imitators of Christ and betraying blowhards alike. And that's really good news, since on any given day, we can be both. Perhaps like Judas, you're thinking, that sounds nice, but not very practical. What good does it do in a world that is in such turmoil, and when people are suffering and indiscriminately being killed like in the Ukraine? Does one person being present to another really matter? I believe it matters. Every moment in this world, there are circumstances that are incomprehensibly painful, and nothing we say will really change that. But our genuine presence and love does change things. For example, a friend told me that she spoke with a woman who was deeply concerned because she has family in both Belarus and in the Ukraine. The woman is frightened and anxious for her family. She's afraid, and she doesn't see how this terrible war will end. My friend was late for work, but she felt compelled to stop, look the woman in the eyes, and listen. She prayed for her and her family and surrounded them in love. It was all she could do, and it was the most she could do. For a moment, the woman seemed lighter and less anxious, feeling connected and supported. My friend did nothing, but she did everything. And the fragrance filled the room. Here's a Lenten challenge for you. One day this week, center yourself and, rooted in divine love, choose to be present to someone without clinging to the outcome. Notice what happens. Let the fragrance of abundant love fill the room. Maybe it's your elderly parent who's filled with negativity, but deep down is afraid of being alone or of dying. Maybe it's your spouse or your child or your grandchild that needs you to slow down, put down your phone, and simply pull him into your lap and listen intently as he tells you about his day. Let the fragrance fill the room. Maybe it's the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. Pull up a photo of him and picture him surrounded in your love. Hold him in your heart. Tell him you see him, you love him, and you're sorry. And just sit with that. Let the fragrance of abundant love fill the room. Maybe if enough people see him and love him, his heart will soften, and sensing he's not alone, he will cease this senseless killing. And the fragrance of abundant love will fill the room. May it be so. Amen.
Oh,
on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.